Hi, and welcome to Common Denominator, straight up conversations with me, Moshe Popak. Each week I chat with pioneers, innovators, and truly inspirational people from all walks of life to learn the steps they take to turn their ideas into reality. My goal is to empower you to dive in, be bold, and take profound steps toward realizing your own potential. Today, we are fortunate to have as our guest, Jordana Goldlist, a successful criminal defense lawyer from Toronto, Canada. And while she's thriving now, she once faced dark and seemingly hopeless times in her youth. Jordana's journey from teenage junkie to TEDx speaker and successful criminal justice advocate is next.
This is Common Denominator, straight up conversations with Moshe Popak. Now, here's Moshe.
Jordana, thanks so much for joining me, and welcome to Common Denominator.
Hi, Moshe.
Hi. As I mentioned in the intro, you had a really difficult journey to get to where you are now. Take us back to your teenage years and paint a picture of some of the things you went through.
My world essentially came crashing down on me the day after I turned 14, when I was brought to live in a group home, and I spent almost over 18 months in different treatment facilities. Came home with some of the same issues that sent me there in the first place. And I really struggled throughout the entirety of my teens. From 15 to 16, had been arrested twice, was kicked out of school. By 16 years old, I was very much entrenched in drug subculture in downtown Toronto. And by 17 years old, I had completely dropped out of high school, was homeless, living really just on the outskirts of society and in the streets of Toronto. And I stayed that way until I was just after my 19th birthday and really faced all of the complexities of street living, serious drug addiction, homelessness, poverty, really just the gutter in all of its different forms. And so for me, pulling out of that took quite the effort at 19 years old.
How dark would you say did it get for you? What was that moment where you were kind of in that rock bottom?
So I had a few turning points, but I think, you know, the quintessential rock bottom moment for me was a few months before my 19th birthday, when I had a cocaine overdose in a cheap motel that I had bought while on a 4-day drug binge in downtown Toronto. And I had nothing. I was fortunate enough to be with someone who called 911 and got me help. But while paramedics were on the way, she stole everything that I had, so that when I came out of the hospital 2 days later, having really almost died. I had suffered a cardiac arrest just before my 18th birthday. And I had nothing. I had no ID. I had no money. I was dropped off in a detox center so that I could be monitored. And I really stood from that and thought, I don't know how it gets worse. I have nothing, not even a sense of identity in that moment. And so that was sort of the catalyst to change, although it certainly didn't happen overnight. That wasn't my wake-up call and boom, I'm sober. That was my wake-up call to say, I really have a problem. And that to me was the beginning of the turning point for me. I didn't leave that life completely. I stopped for about 3 weeks. Yeah. And then thought that I, you know, could get sober by just not using needles. That only lasted 3 months, had another relapse, which was another, you know, real dark turning point for me, when I thought that I could really conquer my drug addiction and not see myself reach a near-death experience if I stopped injecting drugs. Yeah. And 3 months later, there I was covered in track marks after another 3-day binge. And that was the catalyst for me to actually attend a 6-month rehab program. And that was the turning point. In a sense, it moved me sort of up the ladder, allowed me to get clean from cocaine for 5 years, and unfortunately relapsed again at 24. And 5 months into that relapse was the permanent change that has set me on a course where today I can say I'm 16 years sober.
Wow, that's really amazing. Kelly Osbourne, who was sober for 4 years, she just announced to her followers that she relapse And I think that communication is so important, someone going through this journey. So maybe you can tell the listeners of some of the actionable steps that you take on a daily basis to help you through this journey of sobriety.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's incremental, right? You have this sort of mind-opening experience where you're like, wow, everything needs to change. And you make enough steps to move yourself forward, which is what I did, you know, at 19 years old, fell slightly behind. And, you know, too many people that I've seen that have failed, when they have that momentary, whether it's a relapse or, you know, issues that come up in their life that they don't know how to deal with, they treat it like everything's black and white. Oh, I failed, and therefore I'm always going to fail, so I'm not going to pull myself back on course. And so when you talk about, you know, Kelly Osborne relapsing and taking responsibility and moving forward, that is the true catalyst to change. So at 25 years old, I was really facing quite the fork in the road. I had been accepted to Osgoode Hall Law School. I had this vision of a potential future that I was literally grasping in one hand, but I was still very much entrenched in drug subculture and still very much entrenched in the game. And I had to make a choice because I knew that I was not going to be able to lead both of these lives. And so I chose to pursue law school with the understanding that if I failed or if I couldn't accomplish that goal, I could always go backwards. And it's funny, that notion of knowing that my old life would always be there for me has what's allowed me to continue to move forward. And with every step forward, there was this idea in my head that if I relapsed or if I returned to the old life, I would ruin all chances of coming back into this one. And that was what helped propel me and the momentum to continually move forward. And so with every success I've achieved, I can't imagine all of that work and effort being for nothing. And I know that a relapse could essentially wipe out everything that I've accomplished. I now own my own law firm. I employ people. I would ruin all of that in a relapse. I have, you know, built up my own investments and property, and I could easily burn through everything in a relapse. And I know that. And I think it's the thought of everything I've worked so hard to achieve being gone in an instant that has kept me sober and continually achieving successes year after year.
I remember when I was reading Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, he says, if you have a strong enough why, anyhow is possible. So it's the easy, we want to be lazy. It's easy. We want to go back to that way. And I think I know even for myself, the noise of that negative programming gets less as you have more success. You know, and I know what we talked before a little about therapy, and I know that you currently go to therapy. Tell me a little bit about how that helps you.
You know, we talk sometimes about imposter syndrome. I had that big time. I never felt like I fit in. I never felt like I was going to cut it. And so, you know, being in therapy helped me to recognize, you know, both my own potential and my prospects for success. There, at that point, there was really nothing separating me from my own success other than my own negative thinking. And so I had, you know, help to overcome that. My sessions went, I think, from biweekly to, you know, monthly, and then it was every few months. And I still have the same therapist so that when life throws, you know, wrenches at me, I have someone that I can speak to and figure out how to cope with that. You know, I mentioned the other day, my mother now is terminally ill. I mean, that's something that none of us are born equipped to deal with. And so, you know, I contacted her last year when my mother got sick and said, listen, this is something that could easily start me off on a relapse if I let that thinking get to me. And so now I recognize, you know, the major changes and shifts in life that could potentially have a negative impact on my own sobriety. And rather than wait for that to happen or become a reality, I reach out to people for help so that I prevent it from happening.
Yeah, that's very self-aware. That's amazing. I know you mentioned about your law firm, and that you serve and advocate for people who need your help.
I run a busy practice with a focus on defending people charged with homicide offenses, drug trafficking, and firearms. That's the bulk of my practice. It's high-risk litigation. It means that I'm not just doing, you know, a quick matter and moving on to the next one. I spend years representing my clients, which allows me to develop a real relationship with them and their family. And that for me is what it's all about. I had someone message me the other day on a win that I had, and they said, "You don't work for the system, you work for the people." And I really resonate with that. It's so true. I feel like I overcame the worst. I pulled myself out of the trenches. And if I can help someone else do that for themselves, then it just adds so much more meaning to my whole experience.
I know you gave a TED Talk on this very topic. It must have been empowering for you to give that speech. I know it's probably a little nerve-wracking, but to get up after all the journey and go ahead and give a TED Talk. How was that experience for you?
When I was asked to do the TED Talk, I was excited and I was honored. I was flattered. I was like, wow, I can't believe, you know, this is where I've brought myself to. And I was asked because I speak out often about some of the inequities of the criminal justice system under the moniker of "Who Judges the Judge?" And it's really not to call out judges per se, but to call out the hierarchy of the system and the lack of opportunity for people who have been stuck in the system to pull themselves out. So it was something that I've been speaking about for years. And so when I actually sat down to pen my TEDx talk, I fought with myself about how honest I wanted to be and how open I wanted to be about my own experiences. I wanted it to be about the message first and foremost, but my message is so important to me because I was able to pull myself out. And so many people aren't because of the labels we impose on them. So I really struggled with it. And I struggled when it was launched on YouTube. I thought, this is the end of my career. Judges aren't going to trust me. My clients aren't going to ever want, you know, to hire me again. Here I am admitting that I was a homeless high school dropout, a teenage junkie. I mean, I'm calling myself the things that I had now just spent the last 15 years distancing myself from, right? All of my hard work has been to distance myself from the little street kid that I was at 16 years old. And here I was essentially reuniting with that person. And yeah, I was scared. There's no other way to explain it. But when I was in law school, I promised myself that if I could be successful, I would be open and honest about my past. I wanted to be an example to other people that it could be done. You could take yourself from, you know, worthless junkie and make something of yourself that isn't just, you know, you're getting by day to day, but you're actually living a life that helps others. And I wanted to be an example that it could be done. And so the TEDx talk for me was such a fantastic platform for me to express that sentiment.
That's amazing. That's amazing. And I know also you serve as a youth mentor. For you to be able to give back in this manner and inspire people, how does that feel?
I think that's what it's all about, right? Yeah. It's one thing to be successful and make money and have things and whatever. But if you can't give back and help other people to achieve, then all of that's really meaningless, right? Yes. For me, you know, part of my journey in helping other people get past their own situations, you know, and whether that's, I do workshops at different shelters. I mentor kids in transition, you know, from street life out. I also mentor university students. I do a lot to try to help people move past their current situations, no matter what they are. And that for me is more meaningful than anything I could buy. And so while the success was a vehicle to have that voice and be that example, I feel like I do a disservice to my own journey if I'm not doing more with it.
So imagine, so you're Jordana Goldlist today, right? The attorney, successful. Tell me, what would you, if you were speaking to your teenage self, what advice would you tell your teenage self?
You know, I would give a whole wealth of advice to other teenagers. I would say, you know, don't do this and don't do that and keep your head up, but I promise it gets better. And, you know, all of those mantras that we want to express. But if I had to go back and change anything in my past, I wouldn't be the person I am today. You know, without all of that struggle, without those bottoms, I would never have the strength that I have today. And so as much as I never want to relive them, I also don't regret them. I don't regret anything I've done. I don't regret the journey that I took. I'm so happy to be this far removed from it. And I would in an instant help anyone that I saw going down that path avoid it, because I would never want someone to endure that, the pain and the struggle that I went through. But that pain and that struggle has made me who I am today. And so I wouldn't change a thing.
It's funny. I always see truly evolved people speak that way. And I always look back at the time. And if we can learn that lesson, it's a very important lesson that I look back, I know it, at the worst things that happened to me while they're happening to me, that today I look back at it, the best things that ever happened to me, because it propelled me to where I am today. If people want to turn their lives around at this point, and it's really, really tough year, what advice, from a practical perspective, what advice would you give people as far as actionable steps they can take to go on a positive path?
For me, it's all about planning. You know, when I'm working with a youth in transition or a new lawyer or someone who's, you know, transitioning from university student into their career, I always tell them to sit down with a whiteboard and write out your goals and put deadlines for yourself and then figure out a plan to meet those goals. Because otherwise, they're just dreams, right? You're just daydreaming about things you want or things you want to do. And it can be things you buy or places you want to go. It can be, you know, degrees you want to earn. It can be volunteer work that you want to do, right? I have a list and I update it every single year. I have a whiteboard in my office that lists out what I want to do as far as family, friends, career, community. And those are, you know, the four main categories of my life where there are always things I want to accomplish. So I never feel like I've made it and I'm done and I can sit back. And despite, you know, where I've gotten myself to. And so when people ask me, how did you do it? I did it with a plan. It wasn't just, nothing ever fell on my lap. That's for sure. Everything I did was with intention.
I also see that as a, you know, the name of the show is Common Denominator. So I see that people that get things done, it's common, kind of like how I developed in my mind, like a thought, a speech, an action. So the thought, it can be always, there's so many thoughts going on. And I always say about the pen to the paper. The pen to the paper flushes that out, and then you have to live by it. You don't check it off the list unless it's done. That's the list, keeps you in check, and you're honest with yourself. So I want to say that's an amazing action step. And maybe Jordana, you could tell the people how they can learn more about you.
So yeah. My TEDx talk is called Who Judges the Judge? So that's always a good starting point for not only, you know, an overview of my journey, but also of my philosophy on the justice system and on really opening up your mind to the possibility of change for people and for people around you. And that's the main message of my TEDx talk. For other, you know, podcasts, articles I've written, interviews I've given, everything is on my website, which is jhgcriminallaw.com. So every means of contacting me is also on there. My name is my handle on social media. So Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn, all under at Jordana Goldlist.
Well, thank you so much, Jordana, for joining us. It's really a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's fantastic. I love the message you're trying to spread.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Common Denominator. Join us next week for another straight-up conversation with Moshe Popak. To learn more about Moshe, head to moshepopak.com.